appearing before the Supreme Court of Ohio, Master Commissioner George Hawksworth, is open pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning.
Be seated, please.
First case this morning is 00292, True Christianity Evangelism versus Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner of Ohio. Ms. Grasso for the appellant.
Thank you, sir. This morning I'm here representing True Christianity Evangelism in an appeal from Board of Tax Appeals case number 96K904. The dispute in that case arose over a claim for a charitable exemption for certain real property located in Summit County, Ohio, permanent parcel number 6837548, located on West Cuyahoga Falls Avenue in Akron, Ohio. The issue concerns whether that property qualifies for exemption based upon its charitable use by its owner, True Christianity Evangelism. Now, the purpose of True Christianity Evangelism is to produce literature to encourage and help people to live up to better moral standards and to influence people of all beliefs, whether expressly religious or otherwise, to live up to those higher standards. The property, although it is a residential structure, there's no dispute that it is not being used as a residence and that it's not occupied for that purpose. The property is used to produce written materials that advance this message of True Christianity Evangelism. There are two other corporate entities that are operated by the same principal, Mr. Jeffrey Botsko. One of those, Kind and Decent Influence, is directed at those people who work in the music industry, and in much the way that a number of other national organizations do, attempting to convince musicians that they should use their music to advance higher purposes, to discourage the violent imagery with which we're also concerned in music, as a means of causing that to be a more positive influence on society in general. The property itself houses equipment that is used to produce this literature, including word processing equipment, copy machines, some reference materials. Mr. Botsko also stores his heavy weather gear, which is used when he hands these materials out at places like Blossom Music Center or at county fairs. He also has stored exercise equipment there that he uses in order to maintain his ability to go and hand out, as he does on occasion, 800 pieces of literature in an hour or two. The procedural posture of this case is significant. This case was remanded to the Board of Tax Appeals the first time it was before this court. The issue was whether or not True Christianity Evangelism was entitled to the exemption available under 5709.12. The Board of Tax Appeals had for a very considerable period of time and through a number of cases conflated 5709.12 and 5709.121. The provisions of .121 relate to property that is used by a charitable institution. 5709.12, on the other hand, permits any institution, whether or not it is a charitable institution, to receive a tax exemption for real property that is used exclusively for a charitable purpose. Well, the purpose of the organization is to produce and distribute this message. The property is where this information is, where the literature is written, where it's reproduced.
Any institution that I wish to distribute a quote message from, should that be?
Well, there is a definition of a charitable purpose, which is to assist others to live to a higher standard. And there have been cases in Ohio that have said promoting certain informational advocacy, the Herb Association, the Humanist Association, that was advancing a charitable purpose by advancing the information to permit people to do this. The advocacy is not for a private purpose. It's not for a personalized interest. It is for the advancement and betterment. The definition of people in general to a higher purpose. In Planned Parenthood, the definition of charity was the attempt in good faith, spiritually, physically, intellectually, socially, and economically, to advance and benefit mankind in general or a group in particular. so that by advocating and advancing messages that reduce violence, that reduce images of violence in music that are believed to have a detrimental impact on violence toward women and children, that's advancing the overall purpose of charitable improvement.
Now, is that, those are your clients' beliefs. How do they benefit, you know, overall mankind? He's handing out these messages, but what's happening?
Well, if the message is effective, we are convincing people that they should find a better use of their life than to use drugs, and that they should look for that which allows them to find that. Certainly Alcoholics Anonymous is viewed as advancing that charitable purpose when it tells someone, find a better purpose in your life than abusing alcohol. When people find a higher purpose in their life, it is to the benefit of that particular group, and also of society as a whole. When our children aren't abused, our resources need not be devoted to protecting them. When people are acting in less violent manners toward each other, we as a society and as a whole benefit. Okay. Now, the critical issue here is that the Board of Tax Appeals has adopted a distinction in the concept of charity, and is attempting to draw a line between that which it defines as charity and that which it defines as evangelism. And this has no basis in the law. And in fact, when you look at the concept of charity, to distinguish it from charity, which includes in it a religious component and purpose, is almost to ignore the very fundamental basis of charity. The definitions which our court used for charity include expression of Christian love. The concept of charity and the concept of religion were, at the time that the Ohio Constitution was drafted, interwoven with one another, charity being one of the Christian virtues. The Board of Tax Appeals, at the time that it was treating the exemption under 5097.12b as being limited to charitable institutions, drew a distinction between an institution that was charitable and an institution that had religious purpose. One Supreme Court case said that the court did that because it was concerned if it characterized Summit United Methodist as being charitable as well as religious, it was concerned it would somehow deprive it of its protections as a religion under the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment. But that distinction is not necessary, nor is it proper. What winds up happening is that advocacy of an improved social purpose, if it includes a reference to a higher power, is suddenly converted into an evangelization message. And in fact, what true Christianity does is not evangelization in the sense of preaching conversion to a particular faith. Mr. Botsko is not a representative of an organized religion, and he is not a part of an organized religion. He defines himself as a... Actually, the problem is more the other way, that the charitable activities of organized religions aren't scrutinized for their evangelistic content. The Sisters of Charity run hospitals, and that's a charitable activity. And we don't tend to scrutinize as to whether the sisters in such activity also include a message of, by their example and their actions, conversion to a higher purpose. But we don't ask them whether they dissociate that action from their message.
In this case, we are.
Well, and that's the difficulty. There's a level of scrutiny operating here because this is not a true, it's not defined by the state as a charitable institution that is being applied and saying we're going to split the hairs on this. The Sisters of Charity don't run hospitals solely out of a non-religious content. It's a part of that religious mission. Charity and religion in some ways have always been tied up. What you wind up with here is the state looking at the actions of charitable organizations and saying, this is charitable and therefore entitled to exemption, and we think you've crossed a line into evangelism, and it's not religion, it's evangelism. You're measuring and qualifying the content of what happens. And there doesn't seem to be any basis in the law for that distinction. Well,
where's the borderline? Is it just going out and handing out matchbook covers?
If he didn't mention the word God, there'd be no basis for denying him the charitable exemption.
If he just went out and started handing out matchbook covers that said, be a good person, because he printed the matchbooks in this property,
if he's using it exclusively to advance the charitable, that promotion of a betterment of society, yes. Because what's happened here is, because he then mentions religious beliefs, that is what has moved it out of charity. That's the basis of the BTA decision, is because he talks about religious principles, the Quran, the Bible, and those beliefs, that's what's moved it out of the charity. Their basis for denying the charitable exemption is that this conduct is evangelization. If there was no religious component to it, they have not argued that it wouldn't otherwise constitute charity.
If he says, be a good Christian, under your interpretation, the BTA would deny the exemption.
That appears to be what they've done. Given that their basis for denying him his exemption is that he's evangelizing, yes. They haven't argued that advocating an improved society is not charitable. They've said that because it has moved into an area that they define as evangelization, it ceases to be charitable. And so there's a content problem. Moreover, the cases upon which Operation Evangelize, which is one of the decisions, and the Swaggart decision, those decisions rested on an error, which this court corrected in True Christianity Evangelism 1. When you read those cases, the religious institutions involved were denied the exemption, not because of religion. They were denied the exemption because the court said a religion cannot be a charitable institution because we find those to be different things. I don't think that you can say that a message can only have a single focus. For example, Planned Parenthood, which has been held up as a charity, their message is advancing the improvement of the condition of a group of society, and it's been held to be a charitable purpose, but it's also a health message, and that doesn't render it no longer. The Ohio Supreme Court's addressed that, and it says that a charitable purpose can include a religious purpose. Those do not have to be and are not mutually exclusive. Charity does not cease to be charity when it is religious. Many of the charitable organizations in this state draw their mission out of their religious purpose. I think the problem there is that the primary purpose, if it is charitable, if it is also religious, doesn't cease to make it charitable activity. If I go out and clean toilets in a homeless shelter, that is a charitable act. If I do it because I'm motivated by a religious motivation, it doesn't cease to be charitable conduct, and the conduct is primarily charitable. It also just, it flows from a religious underpinning as opposed to a humanist underpinning. The conduct and its consequence to society, which is what you look at to define charity, remains the same. I may say I'm here to serve God, and you should find God as well. And that's what you see many of these religious organizations doing. I'd like to reserve it if you don't mind.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I think in some of your questioning, you hit at what the real issue and the critical issue is here, and what the board focused on properly is what is the use of the property. And the board focused on that and found that the primary use of the property was the preparation and dissemination of a religious message. And I think that finding of the board is amply supported by the record. The focus under whether it's a charitable or a religious use has to be on the use of the property. And when you look at the use of the property here, I think the board properly found that it was not used for a charitable purpose. A couple other things that I would like to, the tax commissioner disagrees with some of the characterization of some of the previous Supreme Court cases. I think there's a long line of Supreme Court cases that have recognized that there is a distinction between a religious use and a charitable use. And I believe that those cases also have found that those two terms aren't interchangeable as far as the two exemption provisions. The two cases that I think are most like this case here are the Operation Evangelize Youth Mission. And in that particular case, this court affirmed the BTA's denial of the exemption, and the BTA had distinguished in that case between charitable and evangelical activities, and they found that the majority of the activities that taxpayer was engaged in were evangelical as opposed to charitable, and they denied the exemption. Also, if you look at...
Where would you draw the line between charitable evangelical?
Well, I think that line drawing I think is something really that appellant came up with. I don't think that the BTA in their decision is drawing any line, and I don't think that the BTA is trying to say, well, is this mostly evangelical or is this mostly charitable? They looked at the use of the property, which is the proper focus, and what was being done there, and they decided that was to disseminate a religious message. I think that's the proper focus, and I think both in the brief
now,
and...
As I understand, part of what they're arguing is that this isn't a religious message.
Well...
And that's how do we draw that distinction?
That's interesting that you brought that up, because I think that now it's not a religious message because they've run into this problem because their primary use of the property is a religious use, but now we don't have a religious message because we want this property exempted as a charitable use.
We're just good people.
Right, and I think that if you look at the activities and the information that are in the record that were produced by appellant, they definitely have a religious basis, a religious message. And I think that the argument that the appellant isn't requesting a conversion to any certain religion, I think that's really a red herring, because the use of the property was to prepare this message, and this message was based on Christ and...
Can we go back to the Articles of Incorporation?
Yeah, the Articles of Incorporation very definitely state that the purpose is to promote, I think it says to promote true Christianity and the values and principles thereof. That's why I think looking at the Jimmy Swaggart case is very instructive, because that was a Wood County Court of Appeals case, and what the court did there was they looked at the stated purposes of this organization are religious, but is this in fact being used for a charitable purpose when the stated purpose is evangelistic? And the court in that case found that evangelistic and charitable aren't mutually inclusive. And they looked at the activities and the uses of the property, and they found that they weren't using the property for charitable purposes. And they upheld the BTA's denial of the charitable exemption in that case. I would also like to address a couple of the cases that appellant relied on in their brief, American Issue Publishing and American Humanist Association. If you look at those cases, there was no issue of whether it was a charitable use or whether it was a religious use. It was strictly, the issue was this a charitable use? And also, I did mention in my brief that the American Issue Publishing case was limited to its specific facts by the incorporated trustees of Gospel Workers Society. I think if you look at the line of cases that this court has held, that there's definitely, we have two separate provisions under the revised code for exemption. We have an exemption for religious uses. We have an exemption for charitable uses. This case went back to the BTA to determine whether or not it was used for a charitable purpose. They looked at the record and they found that it was not used for a charitable purpose. I think that's maintained by the record. And if you look at the long line of cases, I think this court has maintained that distinction between a religious use versus a charitable use. And I think in this case, what the appellant is trying to do is trying to blur that line, which would in effect, why would you need two separate provisions of the revised code? The General Assembly was authorized by the Constitution to provide for exemption of the properties.
The argument was, we don't want to have an organized religion.
We're
trying to promote good values. You have to be very careful not to say good Christian values, I guess.
Right, but I think that, like I said earlier, I think that's kind of a red herring, because I don't think it matters whether or not it's an organized religion or it's just me as a person trying to promote these particular values. You have to get back to the focus of what the use of the property was.
It doesn't become a question of whose values, really. It's, if it's not an organized religion, then aren't those personal values?
They could be personal values. And, you know, it's not necessarily that I'm saying that, you know, these values are not the correct values or anything. It's not a question of that. It's really the use of the property, whether what it was used for. And if you look at the record clearly shows that the only use of the property, I think the board found that there were actually three different uses of the property, but they found that the primary use was the preparation of this message, which they characterized as evangelical. And the property was used for that purpose. It was used by the incorporator to listen to and read biblical materials and to compose these messages. Also, I think you have to look at that, you know, the burden is on the appellant to show the use of the property. And there's even a statement in the record that you know, he didn't keep track of really what was done there. All we have is that there was an unquantifiable, we don't know how much, portion of the creative and the writing activities did occur at that property. I guess just to summarize, this was returned to the board. The first time the board stopped before they got to the issue of whether or not it was used for a charitable purpose. On return to the board clearly, and I don't think there's any dispute that we have an institution here. The dispute is on what was the use of the property and was it used for a charitable purpose. I think the board properly focused on that, looked at the activities that occurred at the property, and found that the activities were not charitable activities. They were religious activities, and I think there's a long line of case law that supports that there is a distinction here. That distinction, appellant would like to just blend them together and ignore that distinction, but if that would happen, that would require this court to ignore a long line of cases that have maintained that distinction. Also, like I said earlier, the burden is on the appellant. They are seeking an exemption from taxation. The burden is on them to show that it was used for a charitable purpose. The BTA found that they did not show that it was used primarily for charitable purposes. I guess just in closing, I would just like to repeat again that, you know, the focus is on the use of the property. The board properly looked at the use of the property. They made a determination of what the primary use was, that the primary use was not charitable. I think that determination is supported by the record, and I would request that the court affirm the determination of the BTA.
First, I would recommend to the court that it look at the line of cases cited by the board. Those cases are seriously questionable in light of the court's decision in the first part of this case, because they stop at the issue of, is this religion a charitable institution, and do not look at the split between religious and charitable activities.
Let me ask you a question that Shambaugh brought up. How is this property used?
It is being used to prepare the documents that are handed out to advance the message. The board has chosen to make a definition of religion. The corporations that use the property for office space run their operations from there in the same way that nurses, you know, work in the offices of a hospital. This is where they do what gets the message out. And I'm arguing that that can include charitable conduct, which advances that. Catholic Charities has as its purpose advancement of Catholic purpose, but it conducts charitable activity as a part of that mission. The fact that it is motivated by religious motivations does not render the conduct uncharitable, and there's maybe the fundamental problem. Look at the definition of evangelism that the board has adopted. It's promoting the adoption of a particularized religion and advocating that particularized religion. The board has set itself as the arbiter of what conduct is religious in conduct or not religious in conduct, and American humanism, because it is promoting humanism, is charitable. But once a God is mentioned, and Mr. Botsko's testimony and his documentation, he urges whatever higher power will move you there. Not particularized Christianity, just the higher purpose, wherever you find it.
Thank you, Ms. Case will be.